Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Jonathan Hood. Cap is off today. He'll return on Friday. My friend Jeff Dickerson is in for Cap. Open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. You can watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000. Twitch, we appreciate you keeping the conversation going every morning on anything that's on your mind or sports. I know it gets controversial in there. A lot of good thoughts on Twitch. So make sure you follow along, twitch.tv/ESPN1000. Also on Twitter and Instagram at CapJHood. So we are looking forward to the Bears taking on the Bengals. And, you know, I got a good feeling about this game, JD. Oh. I know. I think it was obviously a game in which I felt like the defense, especially the secondary, was not prepared. The offensive line held up decently for Andy Dalton. It was a nickel and dime offense, something I'm used to seeing all my life as a Bears fan. But I think that in this scenario against Cincinnati, I think that the Bears can pay dividends. I'm not sure about the score, but I just have a feeling that the Bears will have a better effort defensively against the Bengals.
So full disclosure, as we always do when we do shows together.
Yes.
We had to submit our picks yesterday for ESPN.com.
Yes.
I picked the Bears to win by 1 point.
There we go.
For the sheer reason that I don't want to deal with them being 0-2 next week.
Understood.
I've got enough going on in my life, okay?
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with 0-2. But it's going to be a tougher game than most people expect. I don't think you're going to see the defensive breakdowns like you did against the Rams. I mean, just the busted coverages after busted coverages. But as Weederer told us, there's a lot of weapons on that Bengals offense, not to mention Joe Mixon, who's a very good running back for them. Joe Burrow is a good player. They got some serious weapons there.
Sure.
So they're going to score. Now, what can the Bears do offensively to counter that? Can they play more complementary football? Can they get themselves in a groove? Can they get the running game going with Montgomery more? Can they find the way to take a couple shots down the field to keep the defense honest? I do think they win. I think it's a very close game. But if they make the types of mistakes that they made in week one, busted coverages, turn the ball over in the end zone, they could easily lose this game.
That very well could be the case. It's the little things with the Bears, I think, that can make them lose against the Bengals. Keep in mind that the Bears had one passing play that was longer than 11 yards and averaged 7.4 yards per completion, or 8.6 yards fewer than the Rams. Now, that's not a recipe for success. However, when you think about David Montgomery and what he can provide, opening up the running game can maybe open up the passing game. And again, I'm not expecting all world from Dalton, but I expect him to play better. And no, Jay Will, this is not the revenge game, Jay Will, as he said a couple days ago.
That was last year when he played him.
Yes.
He had that revenge game as a Cowboy against the Bengals, and he actually played really well, and the Cowboys won, I think it was 30-7.
Yes, as I try to explain to my guy, Jay Will, this is not the revenge game. No, it's just a game for Andy Dalton. So I think that it can be better. You know, I find also fascinating about the NFL. You know, it's a copycat league, Jeff, and you go around the NFL in week one, and there are a number of teams that are going for it on fourth down. You know, like the whole thing with the Cincinnati game, I'm sorry, the Cleveland game against Kansas City. You know, the punter sits over there for 3 hours and do anything, and then he's got to do his job, and then he fumbles the football, right? He drops it out of his hands, and it gave Kansas City great field position to score. I wonder if we're going to see that throughout the rest of the regular season, where teams don't mind going for it on fourth down. Because the Bears did it to no success,
to
obviously.
No success. Yeah. But I thought the philosophy behind it, the mindset behind it, was appropriate. I liked going for it on fourth down. I don't like the play calls. Like, it's fourth and short,
yep,
man. Why would you, as I channel my inner John Gruden right there, man, why would you ever go empty backfield? Right there, you're taking away 50% of your playbook. Like, if there's no threat of the run, and they know you're going to get rid of the ball quick, there's only so many routes you can throw out there. Like, the defense knows what's coming. And I feel like that's where the Bears have gotten themselves in so much trouble. It's because they become so predictable. Because, typically speaking, they're losing on first down. They're losing on second down. Matt Nagy always talks about staying ahead of the chains. And sometimes it's happened, and they've had great success. But so often, Jonathan, they're falling behind on the early downs. And then with this offense that doesn't have as many weapons, that has the shaky offensive line, what can you run on third and 13 that's realistically going to get you a first down more than, I don't know, 3% of the time? Think about the positions that they put themselves in. And that is what I think for a lot of people is so disheartening, because it just hasn't gotten better from 2019 to 2020 to, you know, obviously the first game on Sunday night.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We'd love to get your thoughts about the question we have on the table. What troubles you most about the Bears? Is it defensive woes or the offensive identity or lack thereof? It is 3:08 in the afternoon in England, and we go to our Super Bears fan, George. He is with us here on ESPN 1000. Hello, George.
Good morning, gentlemen. I hope you're well. The reason why I haven't phoned before now is because I've been dealing with COVID again. So that's all right. I'm over that now. I'm vaccinated, so I'm over it. What I'm not over is the negativity of Matt Nagy's play calling. I think the reason why everyone's reacting to the Bears so quickly in a negative way is because we've heard all of these excuses before. We get all the same nonsense over and over again from Nagy. We've all got access to all 22, and we can all see what's going on with the offense. And the gap is most over scheme and substance. You know, Justin Fields, if you're worried about an offensive line not holding up, rather than having Dalton in there and going dink and dunk east-west, not throwing any middle-of-the-field passes or anything downfield, when there was some shots on with Dalton, which he missed, and two critical fourth downs, he offers nothing that Justin Fields does, but Justin Fields offers so much more that Andrew Dalton doesn't. It's just as simple as that. We're sick of the excuses. The defense is in decline. They play soft. The only guys that aren't playing soft at the moment on defense is Chris Tonga and Akeem Hicks. Everyone else, even Roquan Smith, had a bad game by his standards. You know, not a bad game all in all, but bad by his standards. You know, tackling's poor, effort's poor, physicality is woeful. And the problem is that, you know, players are now calling for Justin Fields. Everyone else is calling for Justin Fields. Matt Nagy's got a choice now. Does he cave and go with the players, or does he lose the locker room? Because he's already lost most of the Bears fans.
All right, my friend. I'm glad you checked in. I hope you're feeling better. I appreciate your telephone call. You know, we're number one in the UK. You know that, right?
I know that. I mean, George, I'm glad he's feeling better. Sounded like he was in one of those red payphones outside the pub.
He was not on a red payphone.
Hello.
He
was Who is
not.
That? Tell her you'll be back inside in a second. We're important business to attend to right now on the phone.
George is right. The offensive line is a big problem. And to your reporting, sir, can you say for sure that we'll have a left tackle ready to go?
There will be someone playing left tackle. Sources have confirmed to only ESPN that when the Bears line up on Sunday, there will be a human being playing left tackle.
All right.
Okay, how about that? Take that, Schefter.
There's no reason to take shots. According to my sources, I'm going to steal this from JD. There'll be a left tackle.
What the hell are you talking about?
A left tackle playing for the Bears. All right, thank you, Schefter.
It's on the bottom line.
I know. That's JD's report. Wait a minute.
This is breaking news.
Hang on a second.
Wait a minute. Chicago's home
I got
for
lost
sports.
To the ESPN machine again.
1000.
We turn now to veteran newsman Jeff Miller with breaking news here on Cap and J-Hood. Jeff.
Jeff Dickerson is reporting, gentlemen, that a human being will be at left tackle for the Chicago Bears.
The sirens go off in Bristol. Welcome to NFL Live, where we have no NFL Nation reporters ever on. Instead, we bring in our insiders who have this latest report. We are hearing there will be a human being playing left tackle for the Bears against the Bengals on Sunday.
They don't need you on the show. That's why they have Dan Orlovsky. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. So there's your news, ladies and gentlemen. There will be a left tackle for the, according to my sources, mine alone, It'll be a left tackle for the Bears. Here's Bill Lazor.
I would have said after the preseason he's moving quickly and ready for whatever's thrown at him. So I don't think anything's changed.
If he's ready for it, then why isn't he getting those additional chances?
I think Matt's probably addressed what his philosophy is on the quarterback position. I don't think that's easy for me to answer that.
All right. Why did they put Lazor up there? For God's sake, he's like the press secretary.
Okay.
My God.
Okay. Listen.
That's awful.
He can't answer that question.
Is he not the offensive coordinator?
He's the offensive coordinator in title. It gets him more money. He helps. He organizes things. He doesn't decide who plays. That's not his. That's not his decision. I mean, it's a fair question, of course. Every question is a great question. I'm not saying the question's wrong, but you have to understand where he's coming from. What is he supposed to say? I mean,
come up there with. I mean, stop shivering for God's sake. Just answer the question with your chest.
We had a caller earlier who called him Lazor, but yes. We had a caller earlier that said, "Why not make Bill Lazor the head coach?" No. Bill doesn't want any part of that. He just wants to be here. Just have his title. Just do good work. He doesn't want to be the face of the franchise, but he's the coordinator, so he's got to talk.
When you ask a direct question about Justin Fields being ready, I mean, if you think he's ready, how come he's not starting?
I don't know. You have to talk to the head coach. I don't know.
Say anything.
Matt, I'm sorry.
He doesn't want to get in trouble. I mean, what's he supposed to say?
Don't answer any questions. That's where I'm at.
Sorry, I don't know why you guys have me up here. I'm very frightened to answer the question because I don't know.
I would have said after the preseason he's moving quickly and ready for whatever's thrown at him. So I don't think anything's changed.
If he's ready for it, then why isn't he getting those additional chances?
I think Matt's probably addressed what his philosophy is on the quarterback position. I don't think that's for me to answer that.
The president will address that in a future 3:30 meeting.
Any coordinator would have said the same thing. The only guy that would not have said that like that way, if it would have been when Fangio was here during Fox because he hated him, if you would have asked Fangio something about why this isn't happening, he would then give you the real answer because he didn't care and he knew the whole thing was going to get blown up anyways. These guys aren't trying to undermine the head coach. Come on. Hey, fun fact about Bill Lazor. His son is the starting quarterback at my Vernon Hills High School. And he's a pretty darn good player, too.
Good job out there, son.
Thought I'd throw that in there to lighten the mood up a little bit.
Keep matriculating the ball down the field. Whatever you got to do. Just do it the way I do it, kid. 4 yards and in.
All right, coming up next, we will. You know, it's funny. JD is a Cub fan. I'm a White Sox fan, and the two teams are going in the wrong in a different directions. But I think JD's got an idea about his Cubs, and definitely the White Sox. Their loss against the Angels. Well, we'll see. We'll talk about both coming up next on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. The magic number to clinch a playoff spot is 7.
White Sox, baby! White Sox!
With Jeff Dickerson, Jonathan Hood with you. JD is in for David Kaplan. Here on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. That's our phone number. JD, I'll be at the White Sox game today. You'll be able to hear it. 12:30 pregame, 1:10 first pitch as the Sox finish up their series against the Angels right here on Chicago's Home for Sports and home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. I'll be there today. I was hoping to see Ohtani. It looks like he's not starting. Do I have that right, Jeff? I don't think
he was originally on the probables, but they do mess around with his days depending on. So I haven't looked recently. You may be right, Hoodie.
Yeah, I believe.
Alex Cobb is slated to start today.
Well, I did not pay for tickets to see GD Alex Cobb. I want to
BS.
See Ohtani. That ain't right.
That is BS.
Against Ronaldo Lopez, the babyface assassin. Anybody want four tickets? No, I'm just kidding.
No, you can't be giving those away as one of the...
We're giving them away tomorrow, JD. Free ticket Friday.
We got a voice of the White Sox right here, my friend. We can't be giving that away.
No, I'm looking forward to the game, being outside and watching the White Sox hopefully win this series against the Angels. Watching the game yesterday, JD, obviously, you know me as a proud Southsider and a White Sox fan. I really like this team. I mean, there's a lot of time between, you know, getting to the playoffs and a lot of losses before last year, of course. You know, you get a chance to take on the A's and you fall short. Point is, though, it was a long time, over 800 plus losses between playoff appearances for the White Sox. And so you turn the page to the La Russa era, and I'm happy about what I'm seeing. And I think that the resolve of this White Sox team resonates with me the most. How many times have the White Sox used the IL list? How many players have been out, but yet others are able to plug right in and get the job done? I like what I saw. I did not like yesterday's game, obviously, with the loss. It makes me wonder about the Sox as far as the playoffs, on whether or not the Sox can be able to have sustained success offensively. Do they have the opportunity to have sustained success offensively and really hang in there in the playoffs to take another step? That's my question.
I think they do, and I have several reasons why. I think when you deal with all those injuries and you still find a way to put yourself in this great position where you're going to make the playoffs, I think that says a lot about the team's resolve. And secondly, you know, like most observers of the White Sox and fans of baseball in general, I think the biggest fear going into the season was, okay, you've got this great collection of young talent. Are they going to underachieve with an older manager that seems to run counter to what these guys are all about? And you know what? It hasn't been a flawless year, but it's been a good enough year where they have a very comfortable lead in the AL Central. So I would argue that they have, in fact, lived up to expectations, and they haven't, you know, had some sort of letdown. So I think you put that all together, and I do think that they are positioned quite nicely. As I said before, I think some teams in the West are going to be tough to face. We know, obviously, Tampa in the AL East will be a very tough opponent if the White Sox get them eventually. But no, I think you should feel comfortable that they're going to be very competitive when the playoffs get here. I don't see an early exit for the White Sox. I could be wrong, Jonathan.
Yeah.
But I don't see that.
It all starts with Tim Anderson for me as far as this lineup is concerned. Hopefully he's healthy enough to get it done. I don't know if this is a rest thing or if there is a issue with his legs, but I know it starts with him because he's the straw that stirs the drink for this White Sox team. And again, offensively speaking, anybody can come through, whether it's Grandal or Aloy. Abreu is this era's Canerco to me. He is this era's Canerco. You know, there was question marks about Abreu on whether or not he should return from his last contract. They were thinking, oh, maybe you should move on and turn the page. I'm so glad he's with the White Sox because, to me, he is the heartbeat of the team.
Yeah, and Canerco was that, man. I remember covering him. He was so solid.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to bother you last week because you had so much going on with your birthday and the White Sox game and everything.
Yeah.
Do you think the next time you call a game that I could be your statistician and write jokes and stuff during the game and slide it over to you? Is that possible? Could I find a way to finagle my way in the booth and be your stats guy?
You know, Norman Lear and just like slide me jokes?
Well, just you know, I could have some cue cards, and then occasionally if something, you know, strikes me as funny, I could just kind of slide it over, you know?
You know what? If anyone would do that, I would want you to do that. Yes. Because I know you'd keep a nice, lively booth going.
I wouldn't get you kicked off the air. I wouldn't have the FCC coming after us or anything. But I think I could provide some interesting, unique insights.
Actually, the answer is yes. For you, yes, absolutely. I don't know. I wouldn't invite too many people in that booth. But you, yes, absolutely.
I mean, Cap comes in there. He's grabbing the mic from you. You know, I don't want any part of that. I don't want to be heard at all. I just want to be back there just adding some humor to the mix and some good White Sox numbers.
I would definitely like that. If Cap's doing that, that's a whole different broadcast right there. You know, I'd make a nice observation about Jose Abreu. Hey, let me tell you what I think. Tell you that. Hey, get off my mic, pal. COVID.
Sorry, no, I was told this is a joint venture here.
This is
a joint venture. Well, get out of here.
I'd let him know it's not community mic. It's my mic, pal. That's what I would tell him.
Go talk to Connor.
On the Captain J Hood Show. Oh, by the way, shouts out to Dallas Keuchel. Thank you for keeping it under four runs. As a matter of fact, two earned runs surrendered. You know what? That's what the doctor ordered. I did not. When I see Dallas Keuchel out there, I don't expect a lot. And that's because I don't know what happened to Dallas. He's not the player that he was, not even 2 years ago. But I will give him credit. He did a really nice job. Six hits, surrendering two earned runs, and a no decision. Kopech giving up the home run there. And the great question that Meller asked, and I think that the whole station should address this, and that is, not will Dallas Keuchel make the playoff rotation, will he make the roster in the playoffs? It's a big question. I don't know if you need three lefties in the first round of the playoffs.
Good question. I don't know the answer to that one. It's a good question.
I mean, you already have a couple, right? So I think that's going to be interesting to see how Tony La Russa handles that. I want to ask you about your Cubs as well, sir.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because you have no forum to talk about the Cubs. On those national things where they just railroad you with Dallas talk, they're not giving you the forum like I would to give you your Cubs thoughts. So you know how this team is going right now. And so the question is, if you are the brass at Clark and Addison, do you look to be able to turn the page and say, okay, we're going to do this with a youth movement and grow the farm system? Or do you have an open checkbook? That's the question when you get to free agency.
Yeah, they don't have an open checkbook. There's no way. If you've gone through all this trouble, you said goodbye to everybody of note, right? Almost everybody of note. You ripped the hearts out of the fans this year. This isn't going to be a one-year quick fix. You spend a bunch of money this offseason, you're back in the mix next year. I mean, you made the decision to do this. Now you got to do it right, go back down to the studs, and rebuild it up. The fear is, as everyone knows, Jonathan, is that they were so good with their player evaluations the first time they did this. Can they do it again? You know what I'm saying? Right. Can they identify the right players? But no, I mean, I think if they were to spend a bunch of money, you'd be like, then what was the point of all of this? I mean, they should have just kept the group together and tried to win. I mean, what are they, like 15, 16 games below 500?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to put the fans through it, then there better be a light at the end of the tunnel. And the only real light that's going to get you back into true contention eventually is by rebuilding that whole farm system. That's what you got to do.
So you don't mind the losing for a couple of seasons, right?
Well, I mind it, but what are you going to do? I mean, they put themselves. This is the choice they have made. You know, I still have fall baseball to watch. You know what I'm saying?
Sox.
I got youth. I got the Sox. I got fall baseball in Arlington Heights for travel. I got stuff going on baseball wise. The Cubs are there, but you know they're kind of falling off the map a little bit. But listen, I don't want them to lose. But I don't really see a way out of this other than them losing for a couple of years and hopefully getting all those young players back in place and then going for it from there.
I would agree with you. I think that for all the good that Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer did for the Cubs, the question was, so what are you doing about your farm system? When people see like the Schwindels and they see the Wisdoms and guys like that, these guys are up in age. That's not necessarily your immediate future, at least the way I look at it. To me, you have to do what the White Sox or the Braves or some of these other teams have done, is build through your farm system so you can go back to getting that sustained success again. The Cubs, for all they did, you know, spending a lot of money, getting themselves to get in the World Series championship and have a number of playoff runs, that's great. But, JD, you've got to be able to get in a position where your farm system can really help you for your future. And I think that's what the Cubs are missing right now.
And here's how it goes with the national shows, in case you forgot. Here's how it goes, right? Okay, we're going to have a Dodgers guest and a Giants guest in the same segment.
Right.
All right.
Right.
I go, hey, how about we get Dave Wills on to talk? No. We're going to have someone from the New York Daily News on to talk about the Yankees, okay?
Yes. And that same hit, someone will tell you that the reason why the Knicks will be better is because of Madison Square Garden. All right, coming up, we will hear from Jeff Darlington, his thoughts about the NFL. A lot of moving and shaking for week number two. We'll get some of the storylines in from Jeff coming up next, along with JD, Jay Hood. It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
David Kaplan,
Jonathan Hood.
Hello. This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Along with Jeff Dickerson, Jonathan Hood with you on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Cap is off today. Danny's off today, so is JR. We have got Tyler. We've got Jeff Meller with us. Glad that you are aboard with us on this Thursday as we get ready for the Bears and Bengals and all the rest of Week 2 in the National Football League. Jeff Darlington covers the NFL like a blanket for ESPN. I saw him on Get Up this morning. Jeff Darlington joins us here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Jeff, it is JD and Jay Hood. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, so much anxiety about this appearance. I know you guys want answers. I know you got, you know, I know everybody wants answers. Well, and I don't know what I don't know if I have them, guys.
You always have answers. Dude, you're a Nintendo dude. You always have answers. So you always got stuff for us. Can you tell us, Jeff, that you're, in your view, the state of the Bears right now? Where do you place the Bears and their personnel against others in the NFC?
I mean, they should be the defense. I guess I'm joking, but I'm pretty confused about this team because the defense should be right at the top of the class, and we did not see that in week one, and that's where I'm most curious to see. You know, we can talk about Justin Fields and Andy Dalton all day, but if the defense is not playing top five, at least top 10 in the NFL, I don't know how much it's even going to matter. So do they have the potential to be a true playoff contender? Absolutely, without a question in my mind. But it's got to be better than it was in week one.
Yeah, no doubt. Jeff, how improved are the Bengals? I mean, that was a pretty big win for them last week. Yeah. Joe Burrow looked great. Just in your vantage point with Cincinnati, how much of a better team are they potentially this year compared to the last couple of years?
Well, not only seeing Joe Burrow succeed, but, I mean, when you have your rookie wide receiver come out and explode on the scene as he did with more than 100 yards, that's huge too. So my thing about the Bengals is I feel like this offseason we talk so much about Justin Herbert because of what he did, and rightfully so. He was awesome with the Chargers and looked really good in week one. But it was almost as if people were like willing to, if they were to redraft the 2020 draft, that they would have slated Herbert as number one overall ahead of Burrow. And it's like, well, how quickly we forget about a player because he got injured in Joe Burrow. So, like, when he comes back and plays that well, I think it's a great reminder that of what an exceptional prospect he was, and now we're starting to see some of that come to fruition. So, absolutely, hugely better. I mean, they upgraded their top position by so much. So, I as we can discuss about Chicago with Fields and Dalton, the very quarterback that Burrow replaced, you know, it makes a huge difference in a team when you suddenly have that kind of energy at quarterback.
Jeff, when we take a look at the preseason and also in week one of the NFL, we saw a number of teams go for it on fourth down. Is it something that you think that we will see throughout the regular season? Because in this copycat league, if something's successful, other teams will copy it.
It's one of those things where philosophically coaches go back and forth. I mean, you just have – I mean, I feel like it's like the political landscape. You'll just have complete agreement or disagreement on whether you should do it, and the teams that believe in it are going to do it. You have to get ahead of it statistically. You've got to do it all the time, basically, if you're going to do it. It's like playing blackjack. You know, you've got to follow the rule the whole time. You cannot stray from it. So some teams are going to be willing to do that. Others are not. I don't think it's going to be the type of situation where in 5 years suddenly teams are just not punting the ball at all. But I do think that, you know, as analytics become more prevalent and we get more of a body of work when it comes to these analysis, that you will see teams try some of these unorthodox moves. But by no means, but to answer your question, like, I don't think that this is going to be week 17 where, like, wow, what a crazy year because everybody decided to start going for it on fourth down.
Was not a great opening week for the NFC North, Jeff. Not a victory to be had in the division. Wow. I think the biggest surprise was, of course, Green Bay. But it is just week one. So what do you think the appropriate level of concern should be based on how the Packers played last week?
Pretty mid-range. I get it. I'm not saying that I don't understand the eye-opening defeat. I mean, I had that as like a lock. I thought for sure Not only that, I think, like, on an odds perspective, I think Green Bay was 3.5-point favorite. I was like, you kidding me? No question. So, yeah, from that perspective, no doubt, that is an eye-opening loss. But I don't know. I don't necessarily subscribe to the belief that, like, I was talking to Matt LaFleur on Saturday and a couple other assistants, and they were talking about Aaron Rodgers and how good LaFleur's relationship with him is right now, how great of a teammate and a player and a leader Aaron Rodgers was through training camp. So you can't convince me that, like, the MVP, who albeit had a very dramatic offseason but an exceptional training camp, then suddenly just stinks. So for me, I get it, but I certainly believe that Rodgers is going to be much closer to MVP form for the rest of the season as opposed to what we saw this past Sunday.
Jeff Darlington with us on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Tonight's game with the Giants and Washington. Mm-hmm. I thought Daniel Jones, just the selection of him by the Giants, I thought was a head-scratcher, but you have to develop young quarterbacks. So where is Jones amongst the best, you know, young quarterbacks out there today?
Man, when Saquon Barkley's on the field, he plays pretty well.
Yeah.
And when Saquon Barkley's not on the field, he doesn't. So that, I mean, that's pretty telling to me. I also believe in developing quarterbacks, but I, like many people, wondered why Dave Gettleman seemingly reached for him. It didn't feel the same as even like the 49ers potentially reaching for Mac Jones at number three when that was a big storyline this offseason. It felt even more surprising than that. You know, Daniel Jones came out of nowhere on draft day. So it is surprising, and it's not surprising that his development is taking longer than maybe Gettleman expected. And Saquon, by the way, what do you have, 10 carries on Sunday as he comes back from this knee situation? And then he's got to play 5 days later on Thursday Night Football. Like, that's not ideal. So that puts even more pressure on Daniel Jones. But you know what? If you're going to find out that you've got a franchise quarterback, he's got to be the one to elevate the team, not the team elevate him.
Yeah. Jeff, I thought that was a big win for the Dolphins last weekend. I know it was low scoring against the Patriots, but you know, that was a big win for them. What if they can beat the Bills on Sunday? What would that do for the franchise, for Tua, and all the stuff they're trying to build down there?
I think it depends on the way they're winning, right? And here's what I'll say is, with that Patriots game, you had a lot of Patriots people around the league saying, well, yeah, that game could have gone either way. But here's the deal. I live in South Florida. And speaking of someone who understands this fan base pretty well, this fan base is always on the other side of that. So when you say it could have gone either way, Dolphins fans are like, yeah, no, it always goes the other way for us. And it went the right way this time. And last year, I had people telling me in the organization that they were bullish on where this team was headed just from the statistical breakdown of point differential. Like, not to get too in the weeds, but this team wasn't getting blown out. They were in close games. They were, like, top 10 in the league in point differential, even though they weren't, like, this playoff contender. So if you look historically at teams that are on the brink of becoming really good, that's what happens. They start to really close the margin of defeat, even if they are losing games. And now this year, they flip it to the other side. The question, to your point, is what happens with the Bills, a really good team? Can they keep winning those close games and get the momentum that will turn them from just feeling like a lucky team to the team that deserves to be winning?
Jeff, I thought that if Urban Meyer would have stayed at Fox at least one more year, he probably would have got the USC job, but he didn't. So, so could you tell us, based on your information, what are you hearing about Urban Meyer even before week one? Is there some rumblings there about him adjusting to coaching college players versus pro?
I mean, I think there always has been. If that's going to work, it's
give us that. Give us that there. Whatever you would do, whatever you didn't want to say, give us that. Give us that text message right there. Give us that.
Here's the deal. If we're talking about Urban Meyer and whether we believe that he is serious when he says he doesn't want to go to USC after his first NFL game with the number one overall pick and one of the best products or prospects in 20 years as his quarterback, like, that tells me a lot about the state of confidence we have in Urban Meyer in the NFL. It has not gone smoothly since the start. He has made it clunky and awkward at times. And this is coming from someone who actually kind of is curious. Like, I kind of like the idea of him winning and turning this thing up. So I love when teams and storylines turn us on top of our heads and do things we don't expect. But it has felt awkward since the start. And I mean, since signing Tim Tebow, people want to act like that's not a big deal, whatever. That was a very big deal inside the building. There was points of contention between Urban Meyer and other coaches on his staff that didn't agree that he should sign Tim Tebow. So when you take little things like that and multiply them over a six-month span before the season even starts, that's just not good vibes. Like, it's we'll see. He's got a great quarterback. But, man, I want to be optimistic, but I am skeptical.
Jeff, as always, we appreciate your time in Chicago. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
It is Jeff Darlington with us here on Cap and Jay Hood. This portion of the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show is brought to you by IDOT. IDOT reminds you that driving responsibly in construction and work zones really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com. Speaking of Urban Meyer, hey, Urban, are you interested in the USC job? He answers that question next right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. This hour of the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show is brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. It hosts Purdue in the Wildcats Classic on November 20th at Wrigley Field. Tickets on sale now at NUSports.com, NUSports.com. Jeff.
Cap. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
And Yurko from 10 until 12:30. Hold back the tweets, okay? They're on for an extra half hour. Hold back the tweets, all right?
Hold them back.
Just hold them back for just, you know, they're on for a half hour, okay?
All right.
All right, you get what you want. Into White Sox baseball as they take on the Los Angeles Angels. It's a 12:30 pregame, 1:10 first pitch right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. So, see, this is how you do it in the mornings, JD. Let me just tell you how you do it. You see, I pinned Jeff Darlington down on that Urban Meyer thing. You see how I did that? You attack. You make sure he answers the question, pal. That's how you do it. You point your finger in Darlington's chest and you tell him, give me the answer. Give me that. And he gave it to me. You see that?
Yeah,
that's how you do it.
For a while, he thought he was in like the cozy comforts of like the Kiss FM morning show. He thought he was in the Coca-Cola lounge. We're just kind of hanging out. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm in South Florida. Let's talk about the Dolphins. Yeah, he's hanging out. And then boom, finger in the chest. So basically, what we learned today is that Urban Meyer will be the losing coach in next year's Holiday Bowl for USC. That's basically what we learned today.
I mean, he was pinned down. Urban Meyer, head coach for the Jaguars, are you interested in the USC job?
There's no chance that I'm here and committed to try to build an organization.
Okay. I was warned many times. It's a journey. It's not a sprint. And we're healthy. Where attitudes are good, we have good players, and we're building something.
I understand, but will he be around? As you well know, on the sidelines of Ohio State, him bent over, trying to breathe. I mean, see, Jeff, you've been around coaches, and I have for a long time. You understand, these coaches, man, when they get in, especially the college ones, just laying on the couch, and they're sleeping on the couch, and they're trying to go through plays, and they want to show you how hard they're working and all this stuff. Urban Meyer, man, was not healthy last time we saw him on the field. And now he's taking his Jaguars job. And you know how difficult it is for some to make that transition, being a college coach down to the pros.
I mean, he had health issues at Florida.
Yeah.
And that's why he, you know, allegedly left Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing at Ohio State. These coaches can't get enough. They never know when to walk away. You know, quitting while you're ahead is not the same as quitting. That was in the American Gangster, by the way. Denzel,
yes.
Denzel, great movie, okay?
Yes.
But that's true. That's true, though. I mean, Urban Meyer in life is so far ahead that did he really need to go to Jacksonville? Like, what is he trying to prove? Like, what is he trying to justify? And this USC thing, look, until they make their hire, just given his transient nature, it's not a surprise that his name is going to be brought up. So I get it.
My pick, Jeff Fisher. He's out there waiting for you.
USC alumnus, Jeff Fisher, right?
That's right.
Jeff Fisher.
No, you got to do better than that. Because you got Chris Peterson, you know, who's doing stuff on Fox now. And it's like, there's a number of other candidates you can go with. But I just find that fascinating. Also, I find fascinating is ILL.
L-O-U-S-E.
That's right. Illinois against Maryland tomorrow. in Champaign. Are you going? I mean, that's a
no.
It's an 8 o'clock game, man. That's perfect for you on a Friday night. That's outstanding.
No, Friday nights for my family are reserved for Friday Night Lights in high school football.
Well, that's what you're going to see Friday night in Champaign. That's
true,
that's...
but not the level I'm accustomed to seeing. I like good high school football. So what we do is we're going to actually do the Libertyville game on Friday night because my son's LBC team, Libertyville Boys Club. Mm-hmm. It's like the night they go to a game. They're playing Waukegan, who's not very good, so it should be a pretty easy win for Libertyville. But what we do on Friday nights is either we go to games or we stream games at the house. Oh, we are complete nerds. If it wasn't for Daily Herald's Prep, their Twitter handle on Friday nights, I'd be lost because like that's all we do. So the Illini, you know what? I'll record the game. We get back for the Libertyville game, depending on what time his walkthrough is Saturday morning. I might pop it on for a little bit, but they, you know what? You know when they lost me? Here's when Bielema lost me.
Already? Boy, you're three games in.
I'm just saying, like, for I know how the year is going to go. I'm not saying long term or anything. I'm still with them long term. But I mean, you lose to UTSA at home after you beat Nebraska, and they were clearly the better team. I'm talking about University of Texas San Antonio was clearly the better team.
It sounded like a flight at first. It sounded like an airline.
UTSA. Yeah. They had a better quarterback, better receiver, better everything. And then that Virginia game was just a debacle. I mean, not even competitive. Come on.
So that's when he lost you, the UVA game.
The UTSA. Yeah, yes. UVA, I knew that where that was going. I figured after watching UTSA that UVA would be a lot worse, and it was.
I texted you, and you went to bed. I texted you after that. I said, what in the blank is this? Losing against Texas San Antonio at the crib.
Yep.
That's not good at all.
I saw the train coming down the tracks, and I turned that one off early because I knew. I saw this quarterback and I saw this receiver for UTSA, and I said, that's it. They don't got – you know what I hate seeing? I know we got to go, but you know what I hate seeing?
What's that?
Every time they flash the number up there that Illinois has the most super seniors in the country, they have 29 guys that have already graduated playing on their team. You know what that means?
What's that mean?
They've got 29 guys that aren't professional football players on their team. I'm all about the academics, but that's not a badge of honor. When you got 29 guys that are super seniors, that means that their football career is ending with college football, right?
Right.
Like you want to have professional prospects on your roster, not what Lovey brought you.
Got that St. Louis pipeline. Take your questions.
Yeah, right.
We thank you for listening to the Cap and J-Hood Voting Show right here on ESPN 1000. Our thanks to you for listening. Thank you, Twitch, for keeping the conversation going. Thanks to Tyler and Jeff Miller on the other side of the glass. For Jeff Dickerson, I'm Jonathan Hood. Cap will return tomorrow between 7 and 10. We crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko in 2 minutes.